Let's make Sister Gonzalez feel welcome as she comes.
My husband, at first I was going to go second and he was going to go first, but you can be seated. I was going to read the scripture, but I thought I'd just talk to you for a minute. But once my husband gets going, he talks more than I do. We had and I might have mentioned this before, we had our personalities and all of that done with the church. My son and daughter-in-law are really big into all that stuff, and it's good, but I have 6% humor. And my husband has 96% humor. So I'm the serious one. But this morning, I'm going to start this off. I'm so thankful to be here to be with your pastor and wife. I love them very much. Sister Cisco, I love you. God has done such a great work in my life, and he has had to because I've asked him to, but I'm also married to that guy right there, and he kind of has pushed me out of my comfort zone, and I'm thankful for that. The scripture I want to read today is Ephesians 2:18. Ephesians 2:18. And it says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And I just want to talk to you a little bit about access. Access means permission, liberty to enter, to approach, to pass to and from a place. We don't just have partial access to the kingdom. We have full access to the kingdom, to enter in. All is a three-letter word, but it means total, entire, complete, whole, everything. We have access to all the kingdom. Not some, all of the kingdom. Ephesians and Galatians says that we have been adopted as his sons and daughters, that we might receive, scripture says, the full rights. Think about that. When you have been born again, you are automatically have access and blessed with the full legal rights and privileges as a daughter and son of God. Romans 8 says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." A co-heir is a fellow receiver, a joint participant in everything, in all that God has, then why do so many of us live limited? We live limited because we believe the lies of the enemy. Every area of bondage in your life can be traced back to a lie that you have believed. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He is the father of lies. And he will lie to you about who God is, about who you are. And when you believe the lie, you have an opening in your life for Satan to have power. This is crucial. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. So this equation I'm going to give you is Satan's lie. Self-worth equals performance plus others' opinions. So you are what you do plus what others think of you. And this formula creates foundational heart beliefs that so many of us believe. These four beliefs come to this. Number one, I must meet certain standards to have value and to be able to accept myself. You need to think about this because this is how we limit God in our life. Number two, I must have the approval of others in order to accept myself. Number three, that failure always equals punishment. Number four, I am what I am and I cannot change. These are lies of the enemy. Just because you fail doesn't mean that you always receive punishment. Satan wants our lives rooted in fear and intimidation. And fear restrains you and paralyzes you. It paralyzes you from moving forward. It overwhelms you with a sense of inferiority. And it causes you to compromise. And my husband touched on this last night. It causes you to compromise who you are and what you know is right. And this is why you start going by feeling. You live limited and you live inferior. And when you live inferior, it causes you to reduce yourself to operating in your own limited strength and ability. And God's power is limited because you are working in your ability, not his ability, because his ability is unlimited. And this is why you settle for less than what God has promised you. And you live by feeling instead of by principle of the Word of God. And it changes your position in God. And this is why you always live on the defensive instead of the offensive. Now, Satan knows that he's already defeated. But he banks on you not understanding who you are. How many have the Holy Ghost in this house? You are blood-bought, spirit-filled, fully equipped. You are a warrior with special armor designed to tear down every stronghold of the enemy. But Satan doesn't want you to realize who you are and to realize the authority and the power that you have in your life. He wants you to relegate salvation to just a one-time event in your life and not an everyday thing that you walk in. Authority emanates from your relationship with God. And we have been given keys to the kingdom. And when keys are handed over, that means access. You have access to the kingdom. Ephesians 1:18 says, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe." So Galatians says that we are heirs to the promise of Abraham. What are the promises of Abraham that were given to Abraham? My presence will go with you. So presence. Number two, people. I'm going to give you, you're going to have children as the sand, an inheritance as the sand of the sea. I'm going to give you property everywhere that you step your foot. I have given you. And if you read it, he's going to give you the gates of your enemy. But are we possessing the gates of our enemy? I want to say this. Nothing in your life has happened to you that was meant to destroy you. It is designed, if you give it to God, it's designed to birth destiny, power, authority, and victory in your life. But it's until you get tired of allowing the enemy to dictate your feelings and your thoughts. You have to get tired of it. Satan only has power in your life where you give him power. It's the only place. So you need to speak, and I have a whole message, I'm not going there today, about the words that you speak are so important. Yes, they are life and death. They create things in the atmosphere. And when you speak life, when you speak scripture, when you speak God's word, you come in covenant with God, and it creates things in the atmosphere. This is why your testimony is so important, because the word testimony means do it again. You are telling God, you're coming in covenant with God to do the miracle again. But I want to talk about our salvation. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. I don't think that we realize what we have inside of us. Dominion involves three things. Dominion involves fellowship or intimacy, authority, and power. Those are the three things. At the cross, Jesus gave us access, dominion. He gave us fellowship, authority, and power. Repentance. Repentance, sometimes we think it's more about what it removes than what it unlocks. And too many times we minimize repentance to the capacity of what it just removes. And we give repentance, can I say it this way, a negative vibe. That when somebody comes down to the altar and they say, I'm sorry for all of my sins, and we cry, but repentance is more than that. Okay? When we repent, truly repent, hell has to retract. You lose all connecting points to the enemy. It's not just about what you lay down and leave behind. It's what you grab a hold of. Because repentance is transformation. The Bible says repentance is also healing. It's deliverance. It is also refreshing. It is the fruits of repentance. It's more than just saying, I'm sorry. In repentance, you have fellowship. It's intimacy. It's where you give God everything, and then he begins to give you. You grab a hold of what God has for you. It is this intimacy of talking to God, of vulnerability. It's part of dominion, fellowship, intimacy. How about baptism? The blood of Jesus is applied in baptism. And the blood gives you access to everything that you are not worthy of. It is the blood that makes you worthy. The blood delivers. The blood heals. It saves. It transforms. We've heard this, but do we believe it? The blood gives life. It protects. The blood gives freedom from every curse. Our sins are wiped away, washed away in the blood, by the blood. You don't have to live in your past because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus goes all the way back to that day when you were a 6-year-old child and that trauma happened to you, and the blood of Jesus washes it away. It has that power. Your shame is wiped away. But are we allowing the blood of Jesus to work in our life? The power of baptism. The blood in your body, they say, I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but I've studied this. It is moving continually in your body. It is circulating. Well, think about the blood of Jesus. Constantly moving in your body on a daily basis to purify, to take out all of the harmful things. If we're allowing the blood of Jesus to work in our life, the problem is we have relegated salvation to a one-time act instead of allowing repentance, that fellowship and intimacy and baptism, because we're baptized in Jesus' name, which all authority is in the name. Demons flee. They tremble at the name of Jesus. Then why are we living limited when we have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? How about the Holy Ghost? When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. It's not just any power. It's explosive power. It's power that raised Jesus from the dead. It lives inside of me. This means that Holy Ghost-filled people are not supposed to be weak. They are not supposed to be survivors. They are supposed to be more than conquerors. They are supposed to be overcomers. They are not supposed to be overcome by things, but you are to overcome. Do we get it? We're not to be beggars. We are powerful. We have been endued with power from God. More than a conqueror. Too many in church are survivors. Just surviving so I can come to church another day. But Scripture says we are more than a conqueror. A conqueror defeats the enemy. But more than a conqueror not only defeats the enemy, but they have the power to command the enemy and tell him what to do and where to go. Because Holy Ghost power, and because we spoke with other tongues, and Scripture says Jesus breathed on the disciples. And when you study that, we have been filled with the Holy Ghost, the breath of God, his DNA. And when we speak, we have judicial power. Judicial power means that we can change laws. In the spirit realm, even in the natural realm, because if you read, though Esther was not filled with the Holy Ghost like we were, but she was used of God, and Scripture says that she changed laws. And we have the Holy Ghost. We have judicial power to change laws. Satan has to obey, but why are we not using this power? When Jesus died on the cross, he said three words: "It is finished." These three words released miracle working power. But we don't use it. The inheritance is ours legally, but we don't have it in experience because we don't use it. And we have this knowledge, and our relationship with God is based on knowledge. But I don't want just knowledge-based relationship. I want intimacy-based relationship. The more intimacy I have with God, the more dominion I have with God, the more dominion I will experience. We have access, church, to everything that God has. Why are they not? God has tabernacled them inside of us when we receive the Holy Ghost, when we've been baptized in His name. Why are they not coming out of us? It's because Jesus is not looking for converts. He is looking for disciples. Scripture says that Jesus was a rabbi. They called him rabbi. And if you study anything about being a rabbi, rabbi had an apprentice, those that were disciples of the rabbi. And they were required to do three things, an apprentice of a rabbi. And this is the crux of what I want to tell you. If you don't remember anything else, you need to write these three things down. To be a disciple, number one, of a rabbi, you had to be with the master. Number two, if you will be with the master, you will become like the master. And number three, when you will be with the master, you will become like the master. Then you will do what the master did. God does not want converts. He wants disciples so that he cannot, it's not about, you know, we want God to do things in the church. God wants to do things through the church. And this is what it's all about. If we, your pastor mentioned something Thursday, and it was so crazy because he talked about giving God, making God move. Remember you spoke that Thursday, and I was thinking when you said that, I had just been thinking the exact same thing. We cannot make God move. Our job is to make room. But we become comfortable, and God is saying, will you? I want to take you beyond your capacity into my capacity. where it is about making room. Scripture says, enlarge your borders. And this is the alignment that we need, because God wants to take us beyond our ability, our experiences, our expectations, into the realm of His capacity. Where it's not about your performance. I have this thing, I feel to read it, I'm going to read it. I wrote it down. If I were the enemy, I would make you numb and distract you with technology, social media, travel, food, comfort, fun. I wouldn't tempt you with bad things. I would distract you with everyday comforts that slowly feed you a different story and take time away from God. And if that didn't work, I would attack your identity. I would make you believe that you had to prove yourself. Then you would focus on yourself instead of God. You would compare yourself and think you have to measure up to people's idea of success. And if that didn't work, I would intoxicate you with the mission of God rather than God Himself. Then you would worship a cause instead of worship Jesus. And you would burn out from striving. You would think that success is measured by the results that you see. You would build platforms for applause rather than to display God. And your goal would be to gather followers, build ministries, have titles, rather than glorify God and fulfill His purpose. And our lists have become bondage, striving, performing, working hard to measure up to a list of expectations. And we listen to the voice that says we are not enough, and performance becomes part of our life. And the problem isn't performance, it's that we have attached our worth to performance. And we strive to be seen, to be known, to matter. We're desperate to do a good job, and we have these star charts, unrealistic expectations, and we want to win at everything, and we relate to God through star charts, but we end up feeling disappointed, or feel God is disappointed with us, and our backpack is so heavy. It contains some good things, some God things, but it's heavy and demanding and frustrating and tired, and we're physically and emotionally and spiritually tired because God doesn't work with star charts. He's not manipulated by our performance and all of our striving. He is not after great performances or great movements. He is after us. He knows we don't measure up. And we struggle in the dark with backpacks filled with weights that we never name. But what if we tore up the star chart, threw it away, and we quit performing and let go of control and quit worshiping people and stop doing things for God and start doing things with God? God says, I want you free from the striving, from the doubt, from your pride, from the measuring up, because I know you're not enough. That's why I am enough. You don't have to be enough. And striving and numbing are two indicators that we're trying to find our worth in something other than Jesus. And if we're honest, many of us have lost our joy. And it's just about service, because service makes us feel good. Serving, though, leaves us exhausted and depleted and empty. And God is whispering, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Stop doing things for me. Do things with me. Think about it. Little us, strapped next to this enormous ox. And we are able to rest, not because the job is easier, because we're capable, but because we're strapped to God. So give God the backpack. Stop trying to be the bread, the life, the enough. Because God is in the business of stretching us past our abilities, our resources, our capacity. And it's just past us that we see more of him, and he can be the best seen through our lives. But we've bought into the lie that if we consume, we'll be satisfied. I don't have time to read this whole thing. Let me just go here to the end. But Jesus has disseminated his DNA within us. There's a quote that says, before, I was always tugging and carrying the water myself. But now, when I throw away the backpack, I have a river that carries me. And when I stop looking for miracles, when I stop looking to be used in the gifts, and I start looking for God, then I get God and I get his gifts, and I will have miracles. Because when I'm with the Master, then I become like the Master. Then I do what the Master does. Then he will flow like a river of living water in my life to a world that is desperately thirsty. Because God wants to take us beyond our ability into the realm of his ability. Stand with me. I've been raised in this. I don't move in the spirit like my husband does. And for so long, if I can be really vulnerable with you, I've been jealous of the way that he moves in the spirit. And I've tried everything to perform and to do all kinds of stuff. And what I read to you is written out of this, all the striving, all the trying to do stuff. And God said, why are you doing this? I have made you different. If you will just seek me. Stop seeking after all the my stuff. If you'll seek me, I'll give you my stuff. I'll give you exactly what you need for you to be used for me. And I think sometimes we can hear all of this stuff that my husband is saying, and we need to ask questions, and you need to thirst after God and want. But it's not, I've seen my husband die to himself. And that's what we forget, because salvation is free, but being a disciple costs you everything. And if you will deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him, he will give you his stuff. But it's really not about his stuff. It's about him. It's about being with the master. That's the first thing. I have to be with him. And if I'm with the master, I'm going to become like him. And when I become like him, I will do what he did. And when I came to that realization in my life and I stopped all the striving and all the comparing, all the stuff, and I just began to seek after God and thirst after him and be desperate for him, God started using me. It just started flowing from me, because when I'm with him, I become like him and I do what he did. And that's what I wanted to get through to you, because that's the most important thing. God isn't looking for preachers. He's not looking for teachers, for missionaries. He's seeking one thing. Scripture says a worshiper. I'm about the presence of God. If I can get in the presence of God, if I can have God in this house, if I can take God everywhere that I go, if people can see God in me, that's when we can change our world. You don't have to be like me, like Bishop, like your pastor. You have to be like Jesus. And that's what we need, God. Speak to us today, Lord. Talk to these people, God. We have to have your presence. That's the most important thing, God.